This is the best of the week on Relevant Radio.
Ghosts have a lot of names. They really do. Do Catholics really believe in ghosts? What's the church say? Are some of them purgatorial souls? But what about this concept of a disembodied soul, somehow trapped, or an earthbound spirit? There are claims that deceased ones can be stuck here on earth because of an obsession or unfinished business. They refuse to go to the light, perhaps fearful of judgment. Is that a Catholic principle? I want to talk about it because that's one of the popular thoughts that have often been pushed regarding spirits. You know, this person wants to avenge their murder or their hidden treasure or whatever it might be. There's no doubt in my mind. Scripture is filled with references to ghosts from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Remember when Christ was walking on the water? Remember that particular encounter? And the apostles, they look out and they see Christ. And of course, you don't expect Jesus to be walking on water. You don't expect any human to walk on water. They were caught in the middle of a storm. And Jesus came walking to them. Your first reaction is probably, that's a ghost. Jesus said, hey, it's me, you know. In the resurrection accounts in Luke's gospel, the apostles again thought they were seeing a ghost. And once again, Jesus doesn't fault them for that thinking. What's he say? He says, touch me, see. You know, ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. So, you know, Jesus on two different occasions kind of referenced ghosts. There are other places in the Bible that dealt with it as well. There are spiritual realities. Some people, you know, say that these spiritual realities are ghosts. Do spirits of the deceased exist? Yes, they do. We know they do. There is an afterlife, right? We know that great saints encountered them too, right? Padre Pio had many encounters with the departed, right? And so we know that these spirits do exist, but how do you discern them? I think that is one of the big questions I want to talk about today. What is our duty as a Catholic? I mean, what does the church teach regarding these particular manifestations? Joining me today to give us some perspective on that is Dr. Paul Thigpen. He's an award-winning journalist. He wrote a book that I want to recommend to you. He's come out with 50 books, but here's one I think is probably appropriate. One is called A Manual for Spiritual Warfare. And if you have disturbances in your home, if there's division in your life, if you're plagued by some sort of obsession or depression, or there's other types of things that are going on both either in the home or the life, this is an excellent, excellent book filled with rich prayers. And it's great to have him here with us this afternoon. Doctor, welcome back.
True. Great to be here, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk ghosts, okay? Ghosts seem like crazy things. Now, I would say some manifestations clearly are purgatorial souls. We know Padre Pio had those encounters where these apparitional figures. I mean, there were knocks on the doors. People, the friars there in San Giovanni would open the door, and the spirit would ask for Padre Pio. These people saw they thought it was a person, and you know, Pio would later say, no, those are purgatorial souls on their way to heaven to thank me or seeking my prayers. What about this other concept of a disembodied soul trapped between this life and the next? Is there any merit to that? What does the church teach regarding ghosts and those particular spirits?
Well, you know, we want to make sure, and I think you've already begun, that we define ghosts so that we know what we're talking about. That you go to Webster, the first definition there is that it's a disembodied, like you said, disembodied human spirit. So that has been deceased. So someone who lived on earth, they died, body and soul separated. Now the soul is without the body. The spirit is without the body. Basic Catholic teaching, sure, that's what we believe happens at death, that the body and the soul separate. And in fact, everyone except Our Lady, who's a saint in heaven, mm-hmm. we would fit into that category of ghosts because they haven't received their bodies back after they were separated from them in death. So the first question is just, of course, the Catholic Church allows for ghosts rightly understood. In that sense. And then that helps us to see that demons are something different, of course. Mm-hmm. The demons are not human spirits. They are fallen angels. So with that definition, yeah, we can affirm that ghosts do exist. And then with, as you mentioned, some of the scriptures will tell us that disembodied spirits have come back. So we have the story, again, of Saul having the witch of Endor calling back the spirit of Samuel. Some people say, well, that was since he was a necromancer, and that was something forbidden by God's law. It must have been a demon. You can make that argument. St. Augustine looked at that and said, well, right. The scripture keeps calling it Samuel, not a demon, so it must have been Samuel. New Testament, to me, the clearest example is on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses had been dead for centuries, but his spirit shows up Jesus sees them. Peter, James, and John all see them. So that's definitely a ghost. So, yes, it can happen. If you count things like dreams and visions,
yeah.
You also have Onias and Jeremiah who show up in Maccabees. They were deceased and in a dream. So all that means that, yeah, it can happen. Then the question becomes, like you said, how much are they allowed to do? Are they purgatorial spirits? And we have, for a lot of cases, we have evidence from, I mean, as far back as Pope St. Gregory the Great in the 6th century, the 500s, he collected stories like that. But you have lots of stories that are credible from the people who have reported them, in which the apparition, I'll just call it that in general, asks for prayer or tries to gain someone's forgiveness or does something that's good, you know, in which case it really seems as if God has allowed them in their purgatorial purging process to interact with human beings. Are there some who refuse to go to the light or who stay around? And I mean, I don't think the church is pronounced on that, but it sure sounds to me like doesn't seem to go too well to me with the notion of the individual judgment.
That's exactly judgment. Right. That's my problem with it. I can see demonic manifestations. I can even see purgatorial souls. According to St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa there, he says the souls of dead who are in heaven can manifest themselves as the living on their own initiative, which I found interesting. They're not hauntings. They're not meant to terrify people. Rather, it's kind of a saintly apparition. They never come, you know, with fear. Yeah. When we die, we have this experience. We have this life review. We have this particular judgment, don't we, where we're evaluated and based on how we conducted our life, whether we lived for God or we failed that test, determines where we're going to spend our eternity. It's not like we say, I don't want to go to light. I just kind of want to roam around here for a little bit. That never really seemed to sink with me. It's like, do I have a choice? Well, I didn't live a good life. I kind of want to hang around. I wouldn't mind being a ghost.
It just doesn't seem to jive with, you know, what else we know from Catholic teaching about that we don't have a choice about that. But like I said, from the church's experience, and it does fit with church teaching, that God might on occasion allow someone who's being purged in the purgatory process to appear so that they can either help someone or can be helped by someone. It's a powerful story. There are a lot of stories that were collected by some priest scholars who were studying this phenomenon in the 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s. And it was a powerful story. I don't remember all the details, but that a priest reported how one night, it's in London. Of course, it's raining. It's kind of dark. It's like Halloween, but it's not. Yeah. And knock at the door. And a woman dressed in the attire of the time says, "You must come with me quickly. There's a young man who needs your ministry before he dies." And so the priest gets on his jacket, coat, and goes with her. She follows her. She goes very quickly. She gets to the area there where the place is, and she points to the door and says, "He's in there." He starts to go there. He looks back. She's gone. He goes to the door, and the servant answers, and he says, "I've been summoned here that there's a man who is very ill or, you know, is about to die and he needs me." She said, "Well, the master doesn't really, that's not the case." But then the master, you know, the man who lives there, has the servant, he hears the voice and says, "Oh, show him on in." And turns out he's Catholic, but he hasn't been to Mass in years, and everything seems to be okay. But they sit down, the priest takes the opportunity to have a long conversation with him. By the end of the evening, he says, "I want to come back to Mass." Wow. And has a confession. And so the priest says, "Okay, if you're really serious, you'll be at Mass 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm, you know, just down the street." That 6 o'clock comes the next morning. The man doesn't come. And the priest thinks, "Well, maybe he wasn't serious, but I'm going to go back to the house." He goes back to the place, like probably like a townhome, knocks on the door. The servant comes out. Her eyes are all swollen. She's dressed in black. And she says, "He died last night."
Wow.
And so he's talking to her. And then he looks on the mantle where he hadn't looked before, and there's a picture of the woman who had led him there. And he said, "That woman, who is that?" And she said, "That was my master's mother." And he said, "Well, does she live around here?" She said, "No, she's been dead for years."
Wow.
And I mean, and this is not just kind of some kind of legend or something. This was collected personally by the man who was collecting stories from first-person testimonies. But that's one example of how, if God allows it, it's... She's there in order to help her son. God has allowed it for that reason.
And no, I know a nun who listens to the radio program and has been here. I won't give her name just because she shared a confidential story. I think it was confidential. She was a young nun who went into this convent, right? And she was up, I think, on the third floor of this particular convent. And she saw an apparitional figure. She saw an old nun basically walking down this hallway towards her. And she just thought it was a nun. She didn't know what was going on. And the nun walked right through her. It was a spirit. It was a ghost that she saw. So she was kind of spooked by this, of course. Who wouldn't be, right? So she goes down and she talks to some of the other nuns. And she says, did anybody die in the convent here or upstairs at all? And they had shared the story of an older nun who had passed away up there. Well, this young nun actually saw her, went ahead and had masses, and I think the sightings then stopped when that was done. But literally, she saw this nun. She knew nothing about the history, knew nothing about who it was. I think they showed her a picture of her as well, and they recognized who the particular sister was. And apparently, she must have needed more masses or more prayers, I think, to be freed from purgatory. Sometimes I think these spirits God allows to manifest like that so prayers can be offered. And
which is why I always encourage people, if they've had seen that person that sort, I say the first thing to do is have masses said for that person, because if it is a deceased spirit, that's almost sure that's why God allows you to see them.
Hey, this episode of the Drew Mariani Show is on the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio app is completely free. It's updated daily with fresh articles, podcasts, and prayers. So don't delay. Download the app today. Thanks for listening.